Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed on this Thursday morning, on this thankful Thursday morning. I'm so grateful and so thankful that God woke me up today to hear the morning glory message. And I thank Pastor Fred, you know, for this thankful Thursday. You know, he talked about being thankful because God gave us all another day. I'm thankful that I have today. Thankful that the Lord woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody woke up confused and dazed. Somebody woke up not knowing where they are, but God. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, lifting up this magnificent, thankful word today, that we trust in you, God, that we will hide in the cover of your wings, oh God, that all things are working for our good because we are trusting in you, God. I want to trust and I thank you, God, for you know, hallelujah, all that we need, Lord God, before we need it. You know everything, Lord, and all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me and all that you will do, God. Serve a mighty and awesome God who loves me without condition. I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that I am a child of God and he cares about me. Father God, I lift up all those listening today live and later after you, Lord, to bless them, to give them hearts, to know that you are with them, that you have never left them, that you will not leave them, and that all we have to do is talk to you. Woo, hallelujah, Father God. I thank you for allowing me to talk to you. And I thank you, Father, for clarity of mind, for strength in my body. Woo, Lord, and for love in my heart. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I decrease, Father, I ask you, Lord God, to increase the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble, thankful heart. Be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, oh, hallelujah, you are my strength and you are my Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for redemption. I thank you for the ability to ask for forgiveness when I fall. Father God, I thank you for forgiving us of our sin, forgiving me of my sin, that I can have a new day with a clean slate because you gave it to me. Father God, let your light shine. Wherever I go, Lord, let them see you in me. Lord, let there be a smile on my face and joy in my heart because you, Lord God, gave me another day. Hallelujah. As the song said, millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. So I thank you, Lord, for being one in a million to make it. Hallelujah, God. I thank you for being that lost sheep that you came to find to keep it 100. I thank you, Lord, for this word that will go forth this morning. Lord God, let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits to know that even in our darkest hour, you will come through. Even when we think we have no resources, you will show us that we do. Lord God, I just thank you this morning for your grace and for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to my God who is my everything. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. On this thankful Thursday, give God thanks. Oh, hallelujah. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way, put food on the table, and gave you a brand new day. Give God some thanks this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful. Hallelujah. I had a mother read a moment there just then, but I thank him. Hallelujah. So thank you, Pastor Fred, for this wonderful word this morning on Morning Glory Nation. And I just say to those that are on Facebook, if you have opportunity, go out and join MGN. It is worth your while to get that word. Before you come over, make sure you still come over and get a word from me, from the Word of God. But again, this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and what we are moving forward through is the Word of God. And this year we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of New King James, which just happens to be my favorite Bible. I read all. I read NLT. I read New King James. I read NIV. I read Standard King James. I read it all because all are worth it. Because you will find different perspectives to help you to understand the words depending on where you read. But make sure that what you read is in the context that it was written. Because so many times you can go to another Bible, and when you read it, something's not quite right. And then you go back and read King James or New King James, you realize they have totally missed the concept of what this means. They have totally got this out of whack. So you got to be still very careful of what Bibles you grab because, again, make sure that it's in context. Whatever that you're reading, that is in the context that the originals were written in. So that's all I got. And again, church announcement. Not getting paid by Dr. Stanley or In Touch Ministries to hawk this Bible, but I still say, and I say it every morning, it is worth having. If you get opportunity to buy this Bible, get it. If nothing else, the life lessons and questions and examples will take you into a place where it helps you understand the word a little bit better. So I thank Dr. Stanley. I thank him for this Bible. And I will, again, tell everybody who listens to me, it is worth having in your biblical arsenal. It is worth getting. There's so many great Bibles out there written by some awesome men of God that as far as the commentary, the word is the word and you can't change that. And I'm going to tell you, another one that we may be going to is by Dr. Tony Evans. And it also has great commentary to help us understand the word a little bit better. So I'm just praying on what God is going to give me to use for next year. But the goal of this show is the Bible in a year. That's what we do. And, of course, God gives me messages, and I just thank him for that. So we're a little different, but we do what we do for God. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about all of us. Yeah, it is about all of us being saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit. That one day when we stand before God, woo, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is our goal. That is what we want, for us to know the word of God, to live the word of God, and to not just talk about it but be about it. Don't say, I love God and I love his people, but don't want to do anything to enhance anybody else's life but your own. We got to watch that because we are God's children. And he loves us so much. So let's get in the word this morning. On this August the 4th, cloudy day where I am, it was raining yesterday. I mean, it was a good rain. And I just got to say thanking God for my pair. You know, I was reading a tweet from Beth Moore where she talked about her grapes and how, you know, they looked so beautiful and it was a miracle from God. And I thought about my pears. Last year I had a pear tree that did not produce anything. And if it did produce something, it was so tiny you couldn't even eat it. It was like the deer had it. You know, like I said, I have deer that love my yard because I have apple trees that fall. And, you know, they just love to eat the fruit. So, hey, more power to my awesome little deer. They are very handsome and beautiful. They are beautiful and they are cute. You know, as a deer panted by the water, mine panted by my apple and pear trees. So apples and pear trees. And I just say, okay, guys, they done knocked some on the ground. I saw them the other day and I'm like, go ahead. They are for the animals because, you know what, all God's creatures need to be fed. So I am grateful that I can feed a few animals. But anyway, this pear tree, last year again, nothing. And I thought I need to cut you down because it's like kind of got a crook in it. So it leans, you know, because it's a cool tree like that. And so when I went out this year, I started seeing all the pretty, I mean, when I say it was budded up, it was budded up. It was so beautiful, popping out from every which way. I'm like, wow, God, thank you. So I have a bag of pears that I got sitting on my counter so they can start to, you know, mature a little bit. But I had to pull them off because they were having the tree was leaning. The branches were leaning to the ground because the pears were so heavy on it that I had to take some pears off. But I still have a tree full of pears. And I'm like, look at God. It makes you appreciate your blessings. We got to appreciate our blessings and thank God because I love pears. So I don't have to buy pears for a minute. All I have to do is pick them fresh off the tree. Can y'all say thank you, God, this day? And as we are getting back into our word this morning, we all know that Haman lost his life because he was an evil, awful man and a little sneaky snake. And what he had meant for evil, God turned it around for Mordecai's good, but used it on Haman because he was, again, a sneaky snake. And so, but the order that Haman had put in place to kill the Jews couldn't be stopped. It was irrevocable because it had the king's seal on it. But the king, when Esther went in and begged him, and Mordecai went in and they talked to him, he said, well, write this up and send it out. And what happened is it said that the Jews could protect themselves. When folks came to try to kill them, kill, steal, and destroy God's people, God had put up a standard to say, y'all can fight back. Y'all can protect yourself and take whatever anybody else has that's trying to take care. Yo, let's see what's going to happen. Because we are about to go in to God's empowerment of his people. You know, folks can hate you and just hate you for no reason. We all know our brothers and sisters went through the Holocaust. Millions died because of prejudice and bigotry. And it could all start with one man. Remember that Hitler started the mess. One man, propaganda, being inundated with negativity day in, day out, where all your problems are because of this person, that group, all these people dying because of hate of one man. And then he fills the atmosphere with hate. And we have to be careful. History unknown is history repeated. In our word, Haman, one man who got mad because another man wouldn't bow to him because that man believed that I bow to no one but God. But instead, one man created havoc for a whole group of people based on what? A lie. We got to understand the enemy does not change his tactics. But what we have to do is trust God and understand that God's got us covered. All we have to do is pray. So the word of God says in Esther chapter 9, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. And again, Haman started this mess. Now he did. But his whole goal was to annihilate the Jewish race because he was an evil, vindictive little man who thought he was up there with God. And let's keep going. It says, and on the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who aided them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the province of King Assyria's Artaxerxes to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one stand them because fear of them fell upon all people. And all the officials of the province, the sheriffs and the governors and all those who doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. But the man Mordecai became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan, the cathedral, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Parshandria, Dalphon, Aspatha, Dorotha, Adela, Eridoth, Martmathath, Erisai, Eridai, and Bajasta, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan, the cathedral, were brought to the king, and the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the cathedral, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. Then Esther said, it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men of Shushan, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's province gathered together and protected their lives and had rest from their enemies and killed 75,000 of their enemies. 70, that 7 and that 5, complete grace. 75,000, God gave them complete grace in protecting themselves from their enemies. And folks better understand, people of God are going to stand up. Don't think that you can just come and kill people. You might have gotten away with it, but understand everybody got to stand in judgment one day. And what you think you got away with, how you think you done slipped in as a refugee when you know that you're a terrorist, that you know you're a murderer, God's got you and you're going to be found out. God sees everything and knows everything. Haman's 10 sons, think that through. Haman and his 10 sons wind up dying. Why? Because of Haman to be God, because he wanted to be a shadow king. I got this power. I got the king's name. He thought he had it going on, and he didn't, because he went up against God's children. And he got a rude awakening when they hanged him on the gallows that he had for God's anointed. Touch not my anointed. Hallelujah. And let's keep it moving. Again, 75,000. But note, every time I want y'all to note this, that they did not lay a hand on them. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. And on the 14th day of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well. And on the 14th day and on the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day on the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the province of King Assyrius or Xerxes to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of the Hamadite, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and had cursed Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they called this day Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, all the words of the letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Assyrius, Arzestus, with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew to them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Chapter 10 of Esther. And King Assyrius imposed Arzestus, whichever Bible you're reading, imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of this power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? But Mordecai the Jew was second to King Assyrius or Xerxes, and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. Wow. Can y'all say what a word? What a word. And let's go back and get some life lessons from Esther chapter 9 and 10. Life lesson for chapter 9, verse 1. The Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Haman never lived to see the total reversal of his diabolical plan. What Satan intended to be a day of slaughter and mourning for the Jews, God turned into a day of rejoicing and sending presents. The sky never grows so dark that God can't make a brilliant rainbow out of it. He loves to act on behalf of those who wait for him. Are you waiting on the Lord today? I know I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn it around for our good. All we got to do is believe. And as you go back into this word, in Esther chapter 10, verse 3, Mordecai, the Jew, was second to King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, whichever one you want to say, and was great among the Jews. Mordecai took his place along with Joseph and Daniel before him as a godly man living in exile, whom God raised to a position of authority second only to the king. God is sovereign and God is good. Can you thank God today? Can you say, God, I trust in you? Do you trust the Lord today? I know I do. My God, in him I will trust. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we give a life example for chapter 10 of Esther, it says this: Mordecai bound before no man. That was our word for a few days ago. You know, we bow before no man. We bow only to God. You know, Haman thought he was all that. He won't bow. He won't shuffle. He won't yes, sir, and all that to him because he thought he was an all that man. Because, I'm Haman. I got it going on. I got the king's ring. I got the signet ring. I can declare and decree whatever I want. No, you can't, because you're not God. You're only a man. And you're not declaring and decreeing the destruction of God's people. There are those that will declare and decree all sorts of evil. But understand what you mean to declare and decree as a negative against somebody else. You better understand it's going to come back on you. If you're going to declare and decree salvation, declare and decree hope in the future, declare and decree that God will prevail in all things, hallelujah, and that love will prevail. We declare and decree love and peace and joy and hope in the future. That's the things we can declare and decree. But declaring and decreeing somebody's death, why? Because they won't bow down to you. It's some evil Haman-ness. And understand that God has a Mordecai right there to stand up to that power and to say, I'm not bound to anybody but God. And as Dr. Stanley says, if anyone ever had reason to fudge on what he knew was right, it was Mordecai. Mordecai had a choice, either bow before a powerful Persian official or lose his life. Mordecai stood strong, however, and refused to disobey God's commandment against bowing in worship to anyone but him. Thou shalt have no other God before me, shall not bow. And again, to graven images, we can't bow to anything but God. That's it, period. Because day after day, the lackeys of this vain official tried to reason with Mordecai. But Mordecai refused to bow. Perhaps he remembered God's words. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the son of man who will be made like grass and you forget the Lord your maker? Isaiah 51:12-13. We got to remember that word. Let's read that again. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the son of a man who will be made like grass and you forget the Lord your maker? We can't walk in fear. We got to walk in faith that we know who we belong to. Why are we fearing man? We got to understand we serve a more powerful being than anything ever created, because that being created them. God created us all. There's nothing that God didn't create. So why are we afraid of the creation and not afraid of the Creator? Trust the Lord God today. Be thankful and grateful for the blessings of life. He gave us breath this morning. All I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for another day. And Lord, let me be better today than I was yesterday. Give me clarity of mind on what you want me to do. I'm thankful today. And it says, and in the end, God not only spared Mordecai's life, but he made him a powerful and honored public official. God means it when he says, those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2 and 3. Ooh, I love that word. Those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. God is good, and his mercy endures forever at all times. All we got to do is put our trust in him. And let's go to the 91st Psalm. And I'll tell everybody, if you have opportunity, just sit down and read the whole thing in its entirety. We'll be doing parts of it every day until we end it. But today we are in verses 1 through 6. And our title is coming out of Psalm 91. And I just tell you, it touches the heart because it lets you know who to trust. It lets you know that God is always there. I'm getting emotional because when I read this psalm, it does something to my heart. I know that I'm hidden in his wings. I know that he loves me and that I can trust him over anything. That whatever you're going through, you can trust God. And I love this word. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. And that is the word that I have for today. God gave me, and I will trust. I get it. My God, my God, my daddy God who created me. Hallelujah. Who said, who shook off the dirt, the dust, the murk, the mire, whatever. We all come through the blood of the womb. He cleanses us. Because we are his, my God, my God. In him I will trust. When you're going through, hallelujah. When somebody tells you you got a blood clot, but God says, no, you don't. You trust God. Because he says, I'm putting you here to minister. Hallelujah. To minister, to tell people how good I am. Hallelujah. I thank God for healing. I thank God for strength. I thank God for his grace. And it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler. Hallelujah. That low down dirty Haman just knew he was going to destroy not just Mordecai, but all Jews. Hallelujah. But God. Hitler gonna destroy all Jews, but God, don't think that you can mess with God's people and get away with it, because you can't. We are all God's children. We have been grafted in through Jesus Christ. Touch not my anointed. Understand, hate does not align with God. Hate does not align with God. And hate and divisiveness out of that pulpit, that is not of God. Pack up your Bible and leave that place, because it's taking you down a well of destruction and straight to hell. God is not political. God is God. And God loves us all. He does not care. Are you, what are you doing to help somebody else? God is watching everything. And I love this word one more time. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Whew, millions didn't make it. But if you've had COVID and you're still here, you are one of the ones that did. Because God saved you from the pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Thank you, Lord, for the warmth. And under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Who do you belong to? Who do you trust? My God, in him I will trust. That should be our lament always. My God, in him I will trust. Don't worry about who said, she said, they said, who's this, who's that. God has got you covered. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. And God will take care of you. All you have to do is believe. Psalm 91:5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Sometimes it will feel as if our nights are filled with terror, and that we do not figuratively and have figurative arrows flying at us by day. Yet when you find our security, when we find our security in the Lord, they do not have the terrifying or intimidating. He is our safety, and in him we find rest. And I'm going to say this. When we find our security in the Lord, they do not have to terrify or intimidate us. We put our trust in God. Our trust in God. He makes all things right. When we put our trust in God, he guides us and leads us. When we put our trust in God, he makes everything right. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. You know, the enemy don't like it when you're doing God's work. Because all of a sudden, he takes away my headset. But you know what? I know how to speak loud because I know who I serve. And I know that it's all going to be all right. Hallelujah. And then as we go into the word, it says in Proverbs 22:12, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. Hallelujah. Haman thought he was going to tear up some things, but God said, not today, devil. Not today. And I know, hallelujah, that my Father God has got it going on. I know that all things are working for my good because God said so. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy take you off your square. Don't let him think that he can knock you out because he don't like what you're saying. What I know, that my daddy God's got it going on. Hallelujah. So thank God today. You know, enemy going to turn off the power to your headset. But God said, hallelujah. Woo, I trust in God today. My God in him I will trust. And guess what? We are back on the air. We are back on. Right like we were before because God said so. Trust God today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I know that I'm blessed because I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah with me, y'all. Pray with me that God's got us covered. Hallelujah. I'm believing today that the enemy is going to step back, going to try to take off the power. Hallelujah. And say, Let me just take this off. Not today. Not today. But God, hallelujah. And as we continue in our New Testament, Romans chapter 6, and it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Do you have your pep in your step this morning? And it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has domination over him. No longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but like that, he lives to God. Die to sin, live for God. Hallelujah. We got to die to sin to live for God. I love that word. Like you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? Because so many times folks want to put you in that law box, and that you got to have all these statutes, you got to do all these things, you got to put your right leg in, your pants leg on right side first, then you got to put your pants leg on left side, and then you got to make sure that you put your socks on, then your other socks on, then your right shoe, and then your left shoe, and you got to do it in that order. And these are some true statutes that are in some faith, that everything has to be done this way every day. But what did Paul say? But you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Saying that under grace, you still have to keep the commandments of God. Because when Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You are looking at the top 10. You are looking at the 10 written by the hand of God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That did not change under grace. It's still there. Don't get it twisted that you can go and sin like crazy and do all the things that God said not to do because you got grace. That's not what Paul is saying. Because then Paul goes on to say, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves again, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. I'm going to read that again, chapter 6, verse 17 of Romans. But God be thanked, thank God, that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, we all have been slaves of sin. We all have fallen short. Not one of us is perfect. And I'm going to read one more time for the Holy Spirit. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I want to be a slave of righteousness. I want to trust God in all things. Why? Because he's my Father, and I trust him, and I believe in him, and I know that he has never let me down. And it says, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I want to. You want to. We want to be free of in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. But when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we all have that. That's one of our highlightables. But now you got it all in context. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God this morning that he gave you another day. Thank God this morning that he gave you breath in your body, clothes in your right mind. Thank God today that he loves you. And understand, my God, in him I will trust should be your limit all the time. My God, in him I trust. My God, in him I trust. And when you know that in him you are trusting, everything else falls into place. And as we continue in this Roman life lesson, it says this in Romans 6 and 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Paul cannot imagine why anyone who genuinely loves Christ would want to live for the very sin that cost Jesus his life. How could any real believer glory in what God abhors? We can't. Romans 6 and 6, our old man was crucified with him that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And as Dr. Sally says, before we came to Christ, sin had a chokehold on our lives, and we could do nothing. Obedient slaves. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, however, we gained the power to live for God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Romans 6 and 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One day the sin that still dwells in our unredeemed bodies will be eradicated. Until then, we are to draw on the power of the Spirit to put to death the sin that still wants to express itself and obey God for his glory. Understand, enemy is going to always be there. But we also know that our Daddy God is always there protecting us. What does the Word of God say? And I just got to read it one more time as we get ready for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And that word is this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Do you feel the warmth of God today? And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. My God, in Him I will trust. And, I love Sister Carolyn. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Always comes in with a word that's perfect. And this morning is no different. Good morning when you put your trust in Jesus. Bam, He will make everything all right. Have a thankful Thursday. All up in the message this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Pastor Wilson and Morning Glory telling us to be thankful. And then God giving me a word to trust in Him. When we trust in God, our sister Carolyn says, we know that when we talk about God, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus just like we talk about God. He is our Lord and Savior, just as His Father is our God, just as our Father is our God. Because He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We got to trust in God. And we got to thank God for His Son. And we got to trust in Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. When the enemy comes at you, just start saying, Jesus! And watch the devil flee. Hallelujah. Call on the name of Jesus today. Put your trust in Jesus, and He will make everything all right. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And as we get ready to go into prayer, for those that must leave, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And this is the word for today on this fourth day. I can't believe it's still this fourth day of August. Wise enough is the topic. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And our prayer for this morning is, Helper, You are the strength I need to face the most difficult situations in my life. And we know the Helper is our Lord Jesus Christ. As Sister Carolyn has said in Him. Trust in Jesus. Helper, You are the strength I need to face the most difficult situations in my life. I am tired of trying to get through with my own limited resources. I can't do this on my own. When the pressure of life demands threatens to crush me under their weight, be the lifter of my burdens. It doesn't matter what the weather of life looks like. You're always prepared. My life is linked to Yours. I pull from Your power and use it. I know that with You, I can face any trial that comes. I need Your presence to fill me with everything I lack in the moment. I know that I can persevere with You, feeding me the strength I need. Without You, I have no hope to get through. Already have given up. You make me resilient. Thank You for Your help at every juncture. You fill me with courage to keep on. Does God fill you with courage today? This prayer is what I needed this morning. I was praying a prayer similar to this because I know what I need to do, and I ask God to be with me for it. And all we can do is say, thank You, Lord. because God will come through and show you, I got you. Quit worrying. Don't worry. Just pray. Hallelujah. And the word that, the question for today from our prayers is, what do you need today to keep persevering in areas that you've been losing strength? Ask God for strength today. Put your trust in him and know that he will never fail you. He will never leave you. My God, in him I will trust. Trust God today and know that he's got you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet, that you are covered in his wings. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Whew, praise the Lord today. Thank you all for listening in. That is all I have this morning. We have prayed. We have lifted up. We have trust and know that God's God is covered. My God, in him I will trust. Keep that as your lament today and give thanks to the Lord that he woke you up this morning and put breath in your body. And remember, as you go through your day, somebody didn't wake up this morning, but you did. Have a blessed day and keep God first in whatever you do and watch him work in your life. Thank you, God, for favor. Thank you, God, for hope. Thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name, we look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah, praise, O Father. In you, we trust, knowing that you have us covered by your mighty wings and in your loving arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all, family. It's a wrap, because I got to go to work. Love you much. Have a great day. And remember, again, trust in God and know that he's got you. Trust in Jesus and know that you are covered by his blood. And thank him. Thank the Father. Thank the Son. Thank the Holy Spirit. Just be thankful. And trust God. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.